We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Like I said, you can enter our bracket contest, a10whb.com. Last name Hunt. Has apparently got a rash or something. He's itchy, apparently. Not going to deal with his first name. I'm just going to tell you. He has just entered. But you know what I'm not seeing on here as far as entries into ours? Just if you'd like to join the program group, very easy to find, the program-WHB. You can join our group. You'll compete against all the other program listeners and all three of us here in the program. I don't see the shift man.
What?
I don't see the shift man on here. Why isn't the shift man entered in the bracket contest? What's going on? Let's find out. Let's ask him.
I've been so busy lately, man. I haven't had time to. I still got one bracket, and it's not a bracket that I'm ready to roll with. So I only got so many hours left, so I haven't had time to get to that. I got a lot on my plate right now.
All right, I understand. It's something that really what a Missouri beat writer hasn't been used to spending time this time of year since, what, last 4 or 5 years, right?
Yeah, what do you even do with these things? I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure, like, was your entire college career 0 for the tournament?
My freshman year was a team with Frank Case where they had Jordan Clarkson, Jabari Brown, and Ernest Ross, and were one of the first teams out of the tournament. And they lost to, I forget who they lost to in like the second round of the NIT or something. So that was the only postseason basketball I ever witnessed as a student.
That's so bad. That is so bad. But actually, you know, better than some people. I mean, Auburn hadn't been in there in what, forever. Northwestern hadn't ever gone in 80 some odd years for crying out loud at one point. So, but they are back. The Tigers are back now. We're, of course, talking to Alex Schiffer. You can follow him on Twitter, The Shift Man, S-C-H-I-F-F-M-A-N, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, The Shift Man on Twitter as he covers the Tiger beat and is with us on our Sprint guest line. How about it? You satisfied with the seating where they got put?
Yeah, after they lost to Georgia in the SEC tournament, really, that was where they were going to wind up, even if they beat Georgia. The only thing that going into the conference tournament would have really gotten them off the 8-9 line would have been a win over Kentucky in the next round. And I didn't even know how possible that was going to be with a rusty Michael Porter Jr. So this is about where they were expected. And I think they got about as good of a draw as you can ask for that 8-9 line. I mean, Florida State's been inconsistent there. This isn't the Florida State team of the past few years where they had lottery picks like Jonathan Isaac on their team. And in the next round would be Xavier, and that's probably the most vulnerable of the one seeds and the one they match up pretty well against.
And listen, we just talked to Paul Basir not long ago from PredictionMachine.com, and he's not that big on Xavier, and he likes Missouri in this first game. Do you like Missouri in this first game, even without Barnett?
I do. I expect Michael Porter Jr. to be a lot better than he was in that Georgia game. I haven't fully dived into Florida State, but they don't really have an alpha dog like Missouri does with Mike or Cassius. You know, they have a lot of guys averaging between 8 to 13 points. Terrence Mann's one of their leading scorers at around that 13 mark. And their three-point defense isn't that good. And as you know, that's been Missouri's bread and butter this year in big games where if they're hitting threes, it could be a long night for the opponent. So I think those are the two things that really kind of stick out to me. Is there's not one guy like against Georgia where Yonte Mates could kind of carry the offense. And their three-point defense isn't that great, and obviously that's something Missouri excels in. So those two things are big right there. And then obviously, again, if Michael Porter can be the Michael Porter they got back from high school, all bets are off as to what can happen.
What went wrong against Georgia? Was it simply just trying to find the chemistry with Michael Porter Jr. suddenly stepping in and playing 23 minutes?
I think that. I don't like to blame the officiating a lot, but I think the way the game was called definitely didn't benefit Missouri, with Currier and Tillman having foul trouble. If you watch the Kentucky-Georgia game, I think Missouri would have been playing against Kentucky if they called that game the way they called the Georgia-Missouri game. And really, Jonte had a great game, and then after that, not really anybody else did. I think if you got an average night out of Cassius and Barnett, they probably win that game, and they don't need it to come down to the last possession. So, yeah, they were out of sync with Mike coming back into the fold, but they didn't really give him any help to begin with, aside from his brother.
All right, what was your impression of where Michael Porter Jr. is, and how fast can he come along?
This is unprecedented of a player like that coming back this late into the season. And, you know, I love you, Seren, but don't give me the Kyrie Irving comparison, because he played 8 games and it was a different injury. And I hate the people that are making that comparison. But I thought he was about what you'd expect. You know, I thought it was interesting that he didn't dunk in the game, but he's been posting some Instagrams of him dunking. So I kind of wonder what his vertical really is right now, but he had 8 rebounds. I think that's a huge help to them, especially with Tillman or Currier out of foul trouble. I think that they're a very dangerous team on the boards if all those guys are on the court at the same time. And he missed some shots he usually makes, and he almost was a hero with that 3 that could have gone in with 17 seconds left. So obviously not a great shooting night. He was going to have nights like that, I think, anyway, when he's healthy, because he's a high-volume shooter. That's his game. But, you know, he kicked the rust off. He has a lot more practice time under him now, and I think he's going to look a lot better for the tournament.
How healthy do you think
he is? He has to be.
How healthy do you think he is? I mean, you've seen videos, seen him play in high school, saw, you know, a little bit of him when they played here in Kansas City. And I don't know how healthy he was when he was playing in that game, but how freely did you think he was moving, and how close to 100% do you think he is? What's he saying?
He said he was around 65 to 70% after the game. I've always thought that it was more than that, because I don't think Mike would have come back if he wasn't close to that 100% mark. Now, maybe his game was about 65 to 70%. Of obviously what it usually is, but when he said that's what he was at, I took that with a grain of salt, just because I don't think he would have ever come back if he wasn't close to full health. And I think that he's going to be a lot, again, I think it was more rust attributed in the first game, but, you know, again, if you see the videos he's posted on Instagram and everything, and he took contact really well, that was my big takeaway from the Georgia game, is how well he took contact. I think he's closer to full health. I just think it was the part of being out of sync with the offense and being in a game for the first time. I mean, some of his threes that were bricks, I just think his legs were exhausted and he wasn't getting the elevation he needed. So I think the conditioning, not the physical health, but just the conditioning and the IQ part are where he's not up to speed.
Just real quick, you know, looking back, how did you think St. Louis and the SEC married up?
I'm not trying to get off topic, but I think just with Missouri getting out early was a really big missed opportunity. You know, Kentucky traveled well. I thought Arkansas traveled well. I thought Tennessee traveled well for their fan bases. But I just thought from the Missouri side, I kept saying after the Georgia game, it was just such a huge missed opportunity for the university. When's the next time the conference tournament is going to be in the state when Missouri has a star the caliber of Michael Porter on its team? And for them to get knocked out early when many thought they could make a deep run with him coming back, I just thought that it probably left a sour taste in some people's mouths, and it definitely didn't help ticket sales with Missouri getting knocked out early. But I thought it worked. You know, I thought more people showed up and embraced it than I originally thought. You know, I didn't really have an expectation or anything coming in, but I thought it was nice. I just think that Nashville probably will hold more ground in the future, just because it's still easier to travel to for a lot of the more fan bases, and just the city with the country atmosphere and everything, it you know, you can't go wrong there.
We're talking right now to Alex Schiffer from the Kansas City Star. Handles the Missouri beat. What kind of pressure is on Konzo Martin as we go into the NCAA tournament? Is he playing with all house money? The fact that he got him back into the NCAA tournament, everybody's happy. Everybody understands that it's kind of a work in progress still, even here at the end of the year with Michael Porter Jr. coming back. So there isn't a lot of pressure. Or does he now, based on the seeding, need to try to get at least one win to keep everybody happy?
I think it's somewhere in between. I think those that have closely followed the program know that this is an unbelievable job he's done. I mean, what he inherited from Kim's team, you look at all the injuries, the departures, the transfers, et cetera. I mean, the fact that he's held this team together through all that has been nothing short of ridiculous. And if they could have gotten off the 8-9 line, I think it'd be a different conversation. I have like a two-part answer. I think winning one game, given that they don't have Barnett, would be a big achievement in itself. But I think if they come out and beat Florida State and Michael Porter Jr. looks like the way Colin Sexton has lately, where he could be like a Kemba Walker kind of guy, and then you get Barnett back, I think there is some pressure going into that game against Xavier of, okay, you just beat a Florida State team. Clearly you have the old Michael Porter back. You're getting back your second leading scorer, and this is the most vulnerable one seed. There should be some. I think there'd be some pressure for sure for them to give them a game, and maybe advance to the Sweet 16. So, right now, I think there's a little, but not as much. I think if they win Friday and look really good and look like they can really give Xavier a game, I think that puts some pressure on Sunday for them to really. Really make a push for the Sweet 16.
All right, and I might have missed this, but I know Jordan Barnett's not going to play in the first game on Friday, and I thought Konzo Martin, you know, hinted at the fact that he would be playing in the next game. He's going to travel with the team and practice and all that kind of stuff, but he didn't make it a declarative statement. What is your feeling, or did I miss it, on whether or not he will definitively play in that second game?
We're on the same page. Konzo said on Sunday that he's open to Barnett coming back on for that second round game, that round of 32 game, because he'd be around the team. It's not like he'd be, you know, so far removed from game action and practice and everything. So I would be surprised, you know, I'd be stunned, honestly, if Barnett didn't play in that game, because they're down to eight guys right now, and I think Konzo's too smart to deny himself the opportunity to add a player of that caliber in that situation. So I'd personally be stunned if he doesn't play against Xavier, if they get there.
Okay. What do you think of the matchup against Xavier? I know you follow it closely. I mentioned that they're one of the longest – I think they're the longest shot to win it out of the one seeds. Paul Basir liked the matchup. I like the matchup here. I know – you know, Trayvon Blewett is a tremendous talent for Xavier, but I think they kind of just have workman-like guys up front. I think that bodes well, and by then you'd got a couple games under your belt for Michael Porter Jr. What do you think of that matchup if it comes about?
I agree with you. I think they match up well. I agree. I'm a huge fan of Blewett's game. I think he's going to be an underrated guy in the NBA. He's not getting as much love as some other big-time players, but I think he's going to have a solid pro career. And J.P. McCurry is obviously a solid player, but I agree. They don't have the front line they have of years past. And, again, it depends upon Mizzou's ability to stay out of foul trouble. But if the one lineup, I wrote about this earlier in the week, the one lineup that we never got to see against Georgia because of the fouls was Jontay Porter, Michael Porter, and Jeremiah Tillman in the game at the same time, on the floor at the same time. And that 6'10", 6'10", 6'10", for your front line. I don't think Xavier had, if they could put a lineup like that on the floor, I don't think Xavier is anybody that can handle Jontay, a diverse 6'10 guy like that, that can do a little bit of everything. Blewett's good, but Mike at his best is better. And Tillman has really come a long way, but he's always had the fouls. But I think as the season progressed, he's been a lot more of an impact guy. You saw what he did against Arkansas with a guy like Daniel Gafford on him. So I think they match up very well against Xavier. I think the biggest question, if they were to win on Friday, is how did Mike look, and what and how much did they look in sync with him in the offense? If they were click, if they're clicking on all cylinders on Friday, Khris Mack's not going to get a lot of sleep this weekend.
All right, last question. We're talking to Alex Schiffer from The Star, and that is, what's at stake for the SEC overall? They did a great job last year. Everyone has seen them starting to hire high-level coaches. We've seen the recruiting classes start to bump up in the rankings, and we know talent is on the way. And then last year, three in the Sweet 16, South Carolina going all the way to the Final Four was kind of a, you know, the announcement of the arrival of the SEC, yet nobody really has them. You don't hear any SEC teams being talked about for the Final Four. I haven't heard any Tennessee. I haven't really heard any Kentucky, even with them playing well in the SEC tournament. What's at stake, if anything, here for the SEC in this year's tournament?
I definitely think they have something to prove, and I'm looking at the bracket now that I'm in the doghouse with you for not filling out. But Alabama would have, assuming Alabama were to win the 8-9 game, you know, they'd have Villanova in the next round. I wouldn't put it past them to knock out Villanova. I think Brunson against Sexton would be a heck of a matchup, but that's not an easy draw. Florida has St. Bonaventure, UCLA, which I think they'd be in the underdog for. Arkansas would have to go through Purdue. Auburn's got a decent path actually to get to the Sweet 16. But Kentucky obviously had the Arizona draw in the next round. I think the way the brackets fell, it's going to be very tough for them to do what they did last year and have two teams in the Elite Eight like they did with Florida and South Carolina. But I do think that if they were to have some teams make a deep run, I think it would kind of quash any doubts that people had about the league. You know, as you said, they had the great showing in the tournament last year. They carried it into the regular season, and they get, you know, a record amount of teams in. Now can those teams get past the second weekend, I think, is what they really need to kind of get the silence the rest of the haters. And that's going to be hard. There isn't too many great draws. But you know, Alabama comes in with some momentum after the run they made in the tournament. Kentucky goes in with some momentum. Mizzou has Michael Porter back, you know, so it's going to be interesting to see, can they, the opportunities there, what do they make of it?
We're talking to Alex Schiffer from the Kansas City Star, Missouri beat writer. Time for our Kansas Lottery Final Four. Four quickies for you. I'll start you with this one. More wins at their current school when it's all said and done. Is it Mike Anderson or is it Konzo Martin?
Ooh. I'm going to go with Konzo. He's younger than Mike, and his clock just started at Missouri, and he already got off to a good start.
All right.
I'm going to go with Konzo.
All right. How much St. Louis-style pizza did you enjoy while in St. Louis?
What's that? What's St. Louis-style pizza? I need a new question, Saran. All right, man? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's good. That's Rob's favorite. He still loves your answer to when nobody knows what the hell you're talking about. Do you really have your own style pizza? Yes. What's that? I like that. That's strong. That's solid. What is your final four?
Right now, I got Virginia, UNC, Purdue, and Michigan State.
Virginia, UNC, Purdue, and Michigan State. All right, solid. We'll take it. We'll see if it ends up that way before it's all said and done. Like you said, more work to be done on your bracket, so we understand that for sure. All right, and finally, who will be more successful as a head coach? Is it Tubby Smith? Or is it Penny Hardaway, whom reports have it that they're going to fire Tubby Smith? Hell, it might have even come down the last few minutes while I was talking to you, that they're going to fire him and hire Penny Hardaway, of course, former Memphis star, NBA star, and now current high school basketball coach and AAU coach. Who will be the more successful coach when it's all said and done?
That's going to be really interesting because Penny Hardaway's AAU team and his high school team are always they're loaded with prospects. I'm going to go with Tubby right now just because I think Penny's entire career, if this were to go down, is going to hinge on his ability to keep guys in town. And Tubby's had a very good career so far, and I think a lot of coaches would take Tubby's career if they had the chance. I think Penny would take Tubby's career if he had a chance. So I'm going to go with Tubby just because he's not just an average college basketball coach. He's had an above-average career.
Yeah, I agree. Winning at places like Minnesota and Texas Tech is doing something. That's doing
exactly,
something.
Exactly. I think he's unappreciated in that sense.
I agree. Alex, great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Always a pleasure, man. Take care.